Coming up today on David versus Goliath.
Incarceration, music, technology, business, dreams. You learn it all here on the David versus Goliath podcast. There's only one way. You rip your shirt off, you run like a freak, you scream like a banshee, and you jump in.
Welcome to today's episode of David versus Goliath, a podcast dedicated to helping small businesses leverage technology to not only help them compete against their large competitors, but win. Your host is currently the CEO of Anthem Business Software, a three-time Inc. 500 recipient and a serial entrepreneur with a passion to help small businesses everywhere find, serve, and keep more customers profitably. Please join me in welcoming your host, Adam DeGrade.
Hey everyone, it's Adam DeGrade with another awesome edition of the David versus Goliath podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us. Last week, I did the one-year anniversary episode where I spent about 43 and a half minutes with you guys, just me and you, shared some of my life stories, and it was the title of it was episode 53, Happy Birthday to Us, because we have celebrated our one-year anniversary at David versus Goliath, and thank you for being a watcher, a listener, and hopefully a subscriber. Anyway, I wanted to reshoot this the intro to this video because I was going to be interviewing Cody Hall, who is the founder and CEO of Octiva Healthcare. And you're going to find out really quickly in the interview that he is no longer the CEO of Octiva Healthcare and had recently sold the business. And I wasn't sure if I was going to continue with the interview, but you know what? I am so glad I did, because it really is one of the most fascinating interviews. It has some twists and turns that you won't expect, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Today's episode is brought to you by automatemysocial.com, where you can automate 90% of your social media. By the way, if you're a service-based business that doesn't run promotions and specials and things like that, you can automate 100% of your social media. Never have to think about it again. Never have to have a social media manager. Never even need to worry about it. The software does it all for you for like a fraction of what you're spending right now, guaranteed. Check it out at automatemysocial.com. Be sure to visit us at davidvsgoliathpodcast.com. There you can subscribe to receive our newsletters and updates. And you can also apply to be on the podcast. Listen, we are so grateful to have you. And this is a very interesting interview. Let's get right to it. Cody, welcome to the David versus Goliath podcast.
Well, I appreciate you having me. What am I, David or Goliath?
I'm my name is Adam David DeGrade, but the whole concept behind the show, if you haven't seen it, Cody, is we try to champion the small guys that are taking on the big guys. And what I loved about your story as I was reading about it online is that you're really trying to help connect patients and the larger healthcare communities together. And that's a pretty big vision. I mean, if you think about it, to make sure that quality of care is being delivered at the same time as the big hospitals being able to leverage technology in a fantastic fashion. I don't know if you know this or not. My last business I sold in 2020, we worked with about 1,000 healthcare providers. I worked with plastic surgeons, medical spas, cosmetic derms, and part of our offering at that point in time was telemedicine as well for the elective space. So I'm very, very familiar with what you're trying to do. It's a little bit different in elective than it is when you're dealing with hospital networks and large networks like that. But the principles are the same, right? You're trying to bring connectivity to the patient and you're trying to bring it forward. I since sold the company to a great company called PatientNow, and they continue the vision in the elective healthcare space. It's a full-blown EMR, full-blown marketing, and there's a telemedicine piece as a part of it as well, too. But when I was listening to what you do, we didn't touch it because that hospital network is giant. And, tell folks a little bit about your company right now, what you currently do, and then we'll back into how you got into doing it.
Yeah, well, since we've booked this podcast and since we've planned this show, I've actually exited the company. And so I did my exit and now I'm running a nonprofit that I helped start with some military buddies of mine. But Octiva itself is still proudly going where no one's yet to go, really, and succeed. And so the organization was like you said, it was like jumping into the deep end of the pool and never swimming before. Coming in with the support of these large, big these hospital groups who do their own thing, who go in their own direction, and then trying to reinvent the way they approach transitions of care was like fighting a giant, because every day was trying to convince everyone of why they should do something. And so with the goal of fighting inequities in healthcare, because everyone in healthcare has their goals, and those goals aren't always trying to make sure the patient gets as healthy as possible.
They're not. Yeah.
I know.
I can't. You mean there's ill will and ill intentions in the healthcare community?
I can't say ill will and ill intentions. I can say a blind focus on profit, though. and whatever collateral may come with that sometimes, but it's not always focused on the patient.
That's interesting. No, I didn't realize that you actually exited. That's I guess, exciting for you. Is that good news for you, or was it?
Oh, absolutely.
Was it hostile or was it voluntary?
No, it was voluntary. I'm getting ready to have my first child, and I have never really thought I'd be to this point, but I've always focused on business at the cost of relationships, and I've had the opportunity to do exits before. So this has been, though I didn't think I would do it so early, it's exactly where I want to be. So taking time away, which I haven't done in a long time.
How long were you running Octiva before you ended up exiting it?
So I founded Octiva 3 years ago. So in mid 2020. Well, yeah, well, no, 19. So yeah, it was a quick exit. I could have, you know, like many people, you could wait around for a long time to see where the bigger deal is going to come along, the better exit's going to come. But I think getting out sometimes with achieving what you set out to achieve is just as good as, you know, breaking the NASDAQ.
Yeah. Well, listen, everyone has different visions of what success looks like. And I think the most important thing is that you know what it looks like, and you can define it for yourself. When it comes along, you grab it, right? Because the last thing you can do is you miss it. Now, were you bought by a strategic?
Yes. So another organization came in who utilized the service of the organization and kind of took over the leadership and management. So they'll have a new Octiva CEO, but you know, they're under their own umbrella and doing their own thing now. And so as I tell you all the time, I'm ambitious, but I'm not greedy. So it's a very big difference.
There's a huge difference between ambition and greed. No doubt about it. So that's interesting. This is a little bit of a curveball that I was throwing. I was not expecting that. So what are you doing currently right now?
So I started an organization with some veteran friends of mine called the Southern Hope Foundation. And it's an organization focused on providing affordable housing and support for people leaving rehab and prison. So we help people transitions. So which is hilarious, because I also helped out with a foundation that was, when I first exited the military, that was focused on helping people transition from the military back to civilian life. Now this is from incarceration back to the civilian world, and Octiva is from hospital back to the community. So I'm noticing a trend on this podcast.
That's right. There definitely is a trend of going from something back to it. You know, I was part of an organization, a charity that I was involved in, the Veterans Disability Insurance Association, basically what it was, they tried to help disabled veterans find long-lasting careers in the insurance space. And so we would take disabled veterans, we'd place them in insurance agencies around the country, and they would learn the skills and then be able to go back and work remotely from their home, whether they were CSRs or they were really trying to communicate. And that was really, you know, I can't remember the name of the exact foundation. I probably should. I was on the board for 3 years. But, you know, it has to do with disabled veterans going from disability into a meaningful career, into, you know, being insurance agents at the space. I was running a technology company called Astonish Results, and we really tried to help them do that. Now, when you're talking about this is actually fascinating to me. I'm glad we're talking about this. Going from incarceration back into society, what are some of the things that your foundation hopes to do or is doing right now?
You know, and this is all transition. So we'll draw parallels between veterans patients and former convicts, right? They're really landing on a ground of stability and support. It's trying to have that safety with incubation period where they're in that transition. Things are new. They're different from what they've been used to, whether over weeks, days, years. And so giving them the opportunity to have guidance, career paths, career development, as well as general support. A lot of folks who find themselves incarcerated had some type of addiction going in. And so trying to understand how to, now that you're out of incarceration, not jumping back into bad habits. This is something that I'm passionate about. I grew up in a household that was broken by parents who were in prison. And so for me, this is something where my hope is to help parents coming out of prison to find stability and re-enter into their families and their communities in a successful way. And so, we seek to provide that stability and that support.
You know, everyone has a story, right? So yeah. Part of your story was having parents that were incarcerated and looking from that child's perspective to that, to now you've gone through your life and you've had mild degrees of success. You've been in the military yourself, if I understand correctly. Is that true?
Correct.
Yep. So thank you for serving. And you've had obviously a few successful exits. You had a company you were building, yeah. You sold it earlier than you thought you were going to. And now you're turning your focus to something that's more, I don't want to say it's more meaningful, because everything we do in life is meaningful, whether we're running a business or running a charity or running a foundation. But I guess it can be personally rewarding in both sides, right? So this is all new ground for you. And if you think about your life, you know, David versus Goliath, you've had some uphill battles. I mean, if you have, you know, my dad, and this is no stranger for people that have watched this podcast, although maybe I didn't cover it in a lot of detail. I grew up with an addictive parent. My dad had a lot of drug and alcohol addiction and abuse, and was very, very inconsistent in my life growing up. So, you know, one day I'd come home and dad would be great. The next day you'd come home and dad was, you know, throwing the kitchen table out in the front yard.
Yeah.
That was a very interesting, right? Interesting being raised that way, but it helps shape us as who we are. And I tell people all the time that listen and watch the show that, you know, you can get bitter, or you can get better with situations. For you, how did that impact your life and development into your military and then professional career? Have you ever thought about that?
You know, I have. And I've even started playing around the idea of books on it, more so less to publish a story, more so to revisit my experiences and kind of express it out in written language. But when I grew up, you know, I had a mother who was in and out of incarceration, and I had a dad who died young because of addiction. And so inconsistency was the only consistency I knew growing up. And so I lived with multiple family members and ended up being raised ultimately at large by my grandmother. But it kind of put a chip on my shoulder. It gave me an idea of what I didn't want. And that's kind of been my motto throughout, whether it's the military or career, is taking examples of what I don't want to be so that I can kind of refine a process of elimination to figure out who I desire to be as a person, as a man, and now as a father. And I think that has, driven me at large through life, trying to achieve the things that, statistically I was not set out to achieve. I was the first college graduate in my family. I'll be the first one to get a master's degree. And so there's a lot of things that's going through life where me and only one other person I grew up with, who's now the assistant district attorney in Lafayette, Louisiana, who, you know, and so him and I kind of look at each other and we're like, how did we make it so far when 98% of the people we grew up with didn't? And so, The chip on my shoulder drove me most of my life. But when I achieved all those salary expectations and net worth expectations and having all the things that I thought you would have, and I realized I wasn't happy then, and I had to kind of reassess where I was. And that's where I started focusing more on the personal side of life, developing relationships and realizing that relationships are the ultimate currency.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, we're going to take a break. This is like, you know, very rarely do I do a podcast where it doesn't go exactly the way I thought it was going to. This is one of those times, but this is interesting conversation. This is actually real conversation, right? So, you know, I thought you were coming on here for one thing. You're already out of it. Now you're on to your next. I'm learning about your personal life a lot. And I think the story is powerful because for the watchers and listeners of David versus Goliath, you know, no matter where you've been and no matter where you are right now, you can turn it around. And that's what we're going to talk about after the break with Cody Hall and your handsome host, Adam DeGrade. This is the David versus Goliath podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you own a business? Do you have or need a social media presence? If you are like most businesses, you spend either no time or too much time and money on your social media strategy, spending thousands of dollars per month only to get mediocre and inconsistent results. This leads to frustration and, in some cases, sleepless nights. Introducing AutomateMySocial.com. Automate 90% of your social media and never have to think about it again. That's right. Automate your business's social media posting and strategy like forever. Automate the essentials and customize only what's needed. Save time, save money, and get better results with AutomateMySocial.com. Our patent-pending technology gives you the ability to automatically create your social post and distribute them immediately, like in seconds, across all your social media platforms. Stop the madness of paying someone to create posts and manage your strategy, and let our software do the work, so you don't have to. Oh, and if you're an agency or social media manager, you too can let our software do all the work, and you can get all the credit. It will be our little secret. With AutomateMySocial.com, you can have it all. It's easy to use, never complains, and never ask for time off or more benefits. See this amazing new software application at AutomateMySocial.com. If you own a business or manage client social media and want to save time, energy, money, all while increasing your return on investment, then let's get this party started at AutomateMySocial.com.
And we're back with Cody Hall. Cody, you know, I couldn't help but think, after what you were talking about, one of my best business partners I've had in my life was a gentleman by the name of Timothy Sawyer. And my producer right now is putting up his book. It's called The Tale of Two Beasts. And you can find that on Amazon and a few other places. And the whole point of his life was that everyone has two beasts, okay? It's an old proverb that basically... The father says to the son, everyone has two beasts and they fight each other. And the son goes, well, how do you know who's going to win, Dad? And the father says, the one you feed the most. And the whole book, The Tale of Two Beasts, Tim Sawyer, it's like no more hiding is what the subtitle is. My business partner, when he was 18, was arrested on federal drug charges. Okay. Basically, right before he was a juvenile, I was like 17 and a half, whatever, right around that time. And the story starts with his freedom being taken away. And to the point now that he has had in business with me, we've sold two successful companies and he's managed an incredibly successful one that was worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And that was the whole point of the book, is it's like every one of us has two beasts, good and bad. And whichever one's going to survive in our lives is the one we feed the most. So for the watchers and listeners, there's a free plug for Tim Sawyer, my previous business partner, and he's still my business partner with the company we just sold because we both still own a piece of it at Patient Now. And you can go pick up that book on Amazon and where books are sold. It's called The Tale of Two Beasts. So, Cody, I guess the point to you is I'm not unfamiliar with seeing the transformation of incarcerated people to becoming wildly successful and very, very effective in life. And just because you're knocked down now, doesn't mean you're going to be knocked down in the future. And I think that's a really important message. Now, your life, tell us a little bit about how, because you just did, you started the company in, and you sold it 3 years later. You started as a telemedicine company. You had a strategic who bought you. But prior to that, give them a little bit of background as to how you went from the military, ended up there, to here you are now. So childhood with incarcerated parents and tragedy everywhere, to joining the military. Did the military help straighten you out, you think? Or tell us a little bit about that.
So I grew up, because it's actually interesting. We have a man in our family who's fought in every American war. And so my grandfather was on D-Day. My brothers were on the invasion, right? And so like our entire family, my younger brother was in the military. We've all been everywhere around the world. And so going in the military was something that was expected of family members in my life. And I had nothing. I didn't want anything to do with it because I don't like people telling me what to do. And so I had like long hair. I resembled the Hanson brothers, if you know that from the 90s. So that's what I looked like.
I was more like Nikki Sixx out of Motley Crue in the 80s.
There we go.
Without the tattoos.
And so I didn't want anything to do with the military. And so I was going to wrestle in college, and I didn't have the desire to wrestle for the organizations that want me to wrestle for them. And so at the last minute, I signed an open contract with the Marine Corps, and I did numerous jobs in the military. But the one that ultimately kind of like changed my mentality, because I was unnecessarily rebellious. You know, James Dean, you know, Rebel Without a Cause is like one of the greatest movies. I love James Dean's quotes. And so I was like just rebellious for no reason. The Marine Corps kind of took that rebellion and focused it. I went through selection for the special operations and had the opportunity to serve with some really amazing guys. And the mentality of the teams just really kind of take that rebellion. I want to do an independent task and kind of focus it towards a team objective. And that kind of really changed my work ethic and how I approach things. Being that I looked to solve problems in unconventional ways. And then I became this very alpha male, A-type personality. And then I got a job at Apple right out of the military.
Interesting.
I applied for Apple on a whim because I had an iPhone 4S. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna apply for Apple. Why not? Because they make you apply for jobs when you're transitioning. And so I did it jokingly. And then I ended up getting an interview. And 5 interviews later, I was working for Apple. And then I got into Apple HR, which was even funnier because how do I go from Marine to HR? And so in the most unlikely path, I had the opportunity to work for some really great companies, and it was Apple that really, in its own way, helped me transition, because I went from being successful as a Marine, which drives you in a certain direction, which is one leadership style, one objective, right? To working for an organization that everyone's different, encouraged to be different. Diversity is fed by fire of the organization. And so I went from one train of thought to thinking in so many ways and working with so many people. And that kind of helped me be a normal person, not a military person. And it helped highlight parts of my leadership ability and grow who I was. And that's kind of how I went on this path of HR. And then I was working at Amazon, and I met this man, Alan Jones at Bambi, who recently did their own SPAC, which is awesome for all of us. But Alan Jones, I was telling him, because he wanted me to work for him, and I was like, I want to experience what it's like jumping out of a plane, but in the business world. And he's like, okay, come work for me. And so, and since then, I was addicted to startups and this idea of like, make it happen, because that's the mentality we have to.
Yeah, because if you don't make it happen, nobody else will.
Exactly.
There's something to be said about that, man. To be like, you're in a plane and they throw you out of it. Now you got to survive, right?
Yep.
Small business is like that. You start your own business. It's like you jumped out of a plane. Hopefully you got a parachute, because if you don't, You're going to be splatted on the ground, and we don't want that. And that does happen all the time, by the way, because one of the things we talk about here, Cody, is plans and goals, right? Like if you don't have a plan or a goal, at least to start, you know, like your plan and goal when you jump out of a plane, I would imagine, is to A, land safely on the ground. So then you can back your way into how do you, well, a giant parachute. Well, training beforehand. Well, maybe I do it tandem a few times before I try it on my own. Well, maybe I do it, you know, at the right height. You know, so these are all the things that you got to think about to survive on the way down. Business is the same thing. But I know a lot of people that just jump out of the plane. They're getting ready to hit the ground. They got no parachute. It's over. The business is done.
Yeah.
And so how did you give a lot of, you know, thought before you started the company, or did you just do it? How much time did you spend on that, or did you just wing it?
So I had the desire to start a telehealth venture or department when I was working for Titanium Healthcare. And I expressed to them, I'm like, hey, listen, telehealth is, we need to figure out how to get into this side of the business, right? We're in high-risk primary care and, you know, population support. How do we make this transition to tech? Because I'm seeing it going to be big. And then everything started happening in the world, and the company I worked for and another venture organization was like, let's do this. Cody, do this, is kind of how the conversation was. And I was like, all right, what do you want to do? And they're like, well, we want to start a telehealth company. I'm like, great. What do you want to do? We want to do telehealth. I'm like, okay. And it's like, all right, sounds good. So I left that conversation, and then I started a company. So I think that I would refer, you know,
I would call that not the greatest plans and not the great, but you did have a goal. The goal was, we got to get into telehealth, and somebody's going to give me money to do it, and I'm going to go do it.
Precisely. You know, when you jump out of an airplane, you're skydiving, you know, at the minimum, the rule is number one, always pull the cord. It doesn't matter what's going on. There's already, you know, you want to pull when you're stable. You want to pull when you're clear. There's all types of desires. At the bare minimum, though, you want to pull the cord, right? They say no matter what the circumstances are. This was more equivalent to bolting on a plane's wings while you're taking off, and also building the runway in front of it. So you're building the plane while you're building the runway, because, you know, normally I think when you start a business, you're like, you have a set of things. You have an idea, you have a funder, and then you have people, right? And you usually have two of the things before you start doing the other thing. We started off with the money, and then they found the people, and then they're like, hey, people, make the idea. And so then I made up with the idea. And I actually came up with it in a dream. And that's kind of how I ran with it from there. I just kind of took off.
You know, I think people underestimate the power of dreams. And, you know, not just daydreams, you know, when you're sitting at your desk, but actual dreams. And I'm not to get like weird, but like some of the, I recently recorded an album. It's called the Adam Music Project. So go check it out. It's basically seven hard rock songs about a video game called Apex Legends. It's like, has nothing to do with my business. This is my hobby. It's blowing up right now. I got like, I'm already over 500,000 streams in 6 weeks. The whole thing's blowing up. It's going amazing. But I'll never forget it. I was recording a song called Light Up the Sky, which is not one of the most popular songs on the record yet. But I was sleeping that night. And between 2 and 4:30 in the morning, I kept hearing this riff in my brain over and over and over again. And I couldn't sleep. And my wife's like, she was with me. She's so sweet. She's like, you're going to be all right. I'm like, I am not going to sleep until this riff is put on tape. And the whole morning, I just drank coffee, sat there, worked it out in my brain, got to the studio. And I said to Damien from Aranda, the band Aranda, I said, dude, here's the riff. And I went, well, wah, wah, wah. And I was just like, well, that'll wah, 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 wah. He's like, is that really what you want me to do? I'm like, that exact thing. And then I heard a B3 with it. And if you want to check it out, as a matter of fact, I'm going to show a little piece of it right now. My producer right now is going to run Light Up the Sky. It's going to be the first from the intro, TJ, to the first chorus. Here it is. We'll be right back. And we're back on David versus Goliath. And before we continue, by the way, that's pretty cool. So dreams are powerful because creativity, Cody, happens in the entrepreneur's mind at all hours of the day. When you're awake, when you're asleep. Most of my great ideas come when I'm in the restroom. I don't know why. I guess I got nowhere to go. I got to stay focused. And at the end of the day, this all makes a difference. Now, we're going to take a break from one of our sponsors right now. And when we come back, I do want to talk about courage, because it takes a lot of courage to have the background that you've had, the background that my business partner, Tim Sawyer, had to make it into business. And I want to talk about that intangible that's inside of you. You're with Cody Hall and Adam DeGrade with the David versus Goliath podcast. Think about this. Incarceration, music, technology, business, dreams. You learn it all here on the David versus Goliath podcast. We'll be right back.
At ISU RMAC Agency, we want to be your one responsible source for all of your insurance needs. From a rocket engineer in California to several hospitals in Illinois, our personal lines team specializes in hard-to-place risks and high-net-worth clientele. With two locations and 20-plus agents, we can write in all 50 states to better serve our clients with needs in multiple states. Family-owned and operated since 1962, and four generations carrying on the tradition of insurance. Celebrating our 60th year in the industry, we are truly proud of where we have come from and where we are going. With over 300 carriers nationwide, our agency can offer individuals and businesses more choices and better prices. ISU RMAC brings a wide variety of solutions to the table. For more information, visit us online at www.isu-rmac.com.
We're back with Cody Hall and Adam DeGrade for the final segment. You know, one of the things I talk about, Cody, is, you know, David and Goliath is a great story because David was not afraid. He had courage. You know, Saul tried to get him all geared up. Hey, David, do you want my armor? Do you want my sword? David's like, I don't need any of that. I'm going to head down to the stream. I'm going to grab five smooth stones and with a slingshot and an arrow and five stones, which I find fascinating because it only took one to slay the giant. But he was equipped with five. He went out onto that field. He slayed that Philistine giant. He then lapped the dude's head off, held it up for everyone and said, my God is more powerful than your gods, basically, is what was the whole point of the story. And at the end of the day, I believe that all of us are created with something unique in us and something that we have to give to the earth. And if we're not doing that, we are robbing from people around us. And we're robbing from ourselves. Now, with you in starting your first business, going, transitioning, I know it didn't take a lot of courage because you had somebody that said, I want you to do this. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to do this. But to get to that point, to pick up your bootstraps, so to speak, to get you out into the military, to get you to send that thing on the Apple. I know you didn't think you were going to get the job, but these are things that people overthink, Cody, that they never do because they're locked and they're paralyzed. For you, you talk about the thrill of jumping out of an airplane. And that's kind of what it felt like to have a startup business. What do you think, you know, for lack of a better word, I would say it's God. I don't know if you believe in God. I believe in God. But what did you think that was in you that has made you the way you are, that you're not afraid to jump and you're not afraid of the process of what that looks like?
So I believe in the universe, and I say it to my partner all the time, that the universe has conspired to bring us together. And I think it conspires in a lot of different ways. And it's not for my lack of belief in a God, it's my lack of understanding in the universe. So I believe, it's not quite sure what that is. And
you would fall into the category of agnostic.
Correct. So
correct. You know there's something or someone, correct. You just haven't figured that part of your life out yet. I totally get it.
And courage is is acting in spite of fear. So someone's not being courageous because they do something that we define, oh wow, that was courageous. To them, it could have just been what we think every day. I know a lot of brave guys that are brave, not courageous, because to them, they do it 10 out of 10 times. And starting a company is scary. Making money is easy, but starting a company that's focus is making a difference is scary, because I own four companies outright, and I own parts of a lot of other small companies. It's all around us. The making money part is not what a business is meant to do. But when you're starting up an organization with a purpose to make change or to impact the way humans live their life or to better people's life, that takes courage. And because when you are experiencing the idea of making change, you're introducing something that's different, which may not be profitable, right, at first. And so I don't know what it is inside of me that causes me to do things that are scary to me. First time I jumped out of airplane, they're like, who wants to go first? Me. They said, we're going to count to three. I jumped on one.
Tony, in your mind, you're thinking, I'm just going to get this over with.
let's do this.
I think you're very similar to me, by the way. It's the waiting that kills me.
Yes.
If I'm sitting in a meeting and I'm not leading it, I'm like, wait, it's my turn to talk. You know, I think the waiting is what kills us. That's it. That's fascinating. That's interesting. What else?
I told this to my wife. I referred to my bonus daughter the other day, my stepdaughter. And I told her that while right now it may be scary what you're going to do, what you're going to experience, but the biggest fear that you'll ever experience is when later in life you meet who you could have been, if you had done the things that you were scared to do. And I don't do it because I have something inside me. I just do it because I'm like, man, I'm more scared of what's going to happen if I don't do it. Am I going to sit around the rest of my life and say, oh, that company, that idea, that thing could have been big, right? And I'm working on other projects right now and tech companies that we're in development for right now that I've been working on for over a year in my free time. they take courage. And I apply to the philosophy of Elon Musk, where he sells an entire organization. What does he do? He takes every penny and turns around and puts it into, Starlink, and he puts it into Tesla, and he just doubles down. And what happens if he fails? He loses everything. But you know what? So what? Do it again.
Man? Life is not lived in the comfort center. Life is lived on the edges.
Right.
Correct. There's no doubt about it. Life is definitely lived on the edges. It's like, I liken the story to the California beaches. I don't know if you've ever been to Southern California.
Of course.
It's beautiful and sunny, except the water is about 58 degrees. Yeah. And so if they're from Canada, people just jump in, they love it. Yeah. But when you're a guy from Florida and you're heading out to California and you're thinking the water, there's only one way in that water. Because if you try to toe dip into that water, you're not getting in. There's only one way. You rip your shirt off, you run like a freak, you scream like a banshee, and you jump in.
Yes.
In some cases, by the way, Cody, that's what it takes in business. And that's what it takes if you're watching and listening to overcome your fear, your uncertainties, and your doubts. Sometimes it's not overthinking it. Courage is bravery in the spite of fear. I love that. Yeah. And I think that's really, really important. You can be brave and do things you're comfortable with, or you can have courage and do things you're scared to do. And before you know it, the more you do the things you're scared to do, you become brave and you can do those things more and more. So it's not that people with bravery aren't amazing. They've just overcome their fears quicker than maybe I have. And you made a really good point. The worst thing that can happen to you, viewer and watcher and listener, and to myself and to you, Cody, is to run into a future version of yourself that you could have been if you lived a better life and made different choices. And in parting, Cody, because you've had a lot of life experience, both positive and negative, what advice would you give to somebody right now who is maybe in that tweener part of their life where they haven't done that yet? They've thought about it 1,000 times, but they haven't done it. What advice would you give them?
Oh, man. I think it's not so much advice, but they just need to ask themselves, what happens if you don't do it? right? Is it worse to do something and make a mistake and get somewhere, maybe a different spot in life, or to stay where you're already maybe even miserable? Maybe you're working that 9-to-5 job and it's stable and you like it, but you've always wanted to start your own business, but you're afraid of failing. You should be more afraid of staying where you are. And I think that one thing that someone told me when I was younger is when you get older, you're going to get more fearful, right? You're going to take less risk. Well, here I am twice as that age at this point, no longer a young Marine, and I take risk every day. And you know, I'm smart about my risk, and I also have a lot more padding for mistakes now. But at one point in time, I didn't have any padding. I'm out there playing rugby, okay?
So. I always tell people, Cody, I come to life when my back's against the wall. And and that is really, really good, really, really good advice. This has been awesome. You know, this, as I said to the watchers, listeners, I thought I was interviewing somebody who was doing something different. But it doesn't matter. This has been a very awesome episode of the David versus Goliath podcast. Have you enjoyed yourself being here?
Oh, this has been awesome.
Man, I got to tell you, I'd like to have you come back in the future and give us a little glimpse, maybe 18 months from now, what Cody Hall is doing now. And hopefully it's all positive, and hopefully it's a better version of yourself. And who knows? Maybe you figure out who created the universe. You just never know. Anyway, this is Adam DeGrade. You're with Cody Hall. Cody, thank you for being a part of it, man. It's been great to have you. And for the watchers and listeners, think about how much you listen and how much you get to learn here. I am so grateful that we spend time together every week. Thank you for subscribing. Don't be afraid to leave some comments. Let's have some fun. Everyone have an awesome day, and we'll see you next week on the David versus Goliath podcast. Have a great day.